Mom, don't be seated. I was going to say you can be seated, but stand up for the whole sermon. God is raising up an army.
Yes, amen.
Jill's army, if you want to call it that, but there's going to be an army that's been so transformed that they can walk in fire. They can know that the Spirit of God is with them. They can be old and have a gray beard like the guy in the video and have more energy than all of you put together. Because praise God, praise God, there is a movement right now going on in the world, whether we're part of it or not, and God is raising up his army right now. So tell somebody you look like a warrior. Praise God. And then, and if you said that, you may be seated. If you didn't say it, stand up. Okay, praise God. There we go. Off the screen. Okay, you have to figure out what the first order is. Oh, okay. I'm not looking back here. Okay, good. When we realize that we have been good Christians for too long, we have been what Pastor Tim called, I want to give honor to Pastor Tim and Pastor Tikva, who came out here from Brandon, Florida. And amen. So, as a matter of fact, this tallit I got from Pastor Tikva's conference. And one of the guys that made this tallit let me wear it in a play, and I was Moses. And so I just kept it. I asked him. Thank you very much. I love it too. We've been saved as good people, as Pastor Tim calls it, a mental ascent. We've mentally been good Christians. We don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go with girls that do. And by God, we're going to go to heaven. Well, God is calling his people to have a heart for God. Because we've had a mind for God. We want to serve God. We want to read the Word of God, whether you're a Christian and you've got 1,050 commandments, or whether you're a Jew and you've got 613. We want to keep these the best we can. But God is looking for somebody like Isaiah that is so transformed that he'll help you to understand that he's going to speak about the Messiah. He's going to prophesy about the Spirit of Messiah, because he took God's anointing and he called it a coal to his lips. And God is transforming several people so that we understand something, because the last few chapters in Devarim tell us that he sets before you blessings and curses. We've got curses that he put before us and put on us, and he says, if you keep my word, if you're obedient to my covenant, I will take your curses and I'll put them on your enemies. Oh, wow. Yes, thank you very much. You're right. We've been teaching people that amen means nothing to most of us, but so be it means it better be. It better be. And so when God is transforming us to realize that there are curses on us, but there's also blessings. I love chapter 28 because there's 14 verses of blessings. And there's 58 verses of curses. And it's like, hello. And we read in our Bible study the other day that there's 98 sacrifices of bulls during this time of Sukkot. And there are 98 curses in Deuteronomy 28. So we know that God has a bull sacrifice for every curse, and every curse can be redeemed and taken off of us if we keep covenant and we know that our enemy. So who's our enemy? Every sin in the book, right? It's not Joe and Hillary. It's the realms of death that influence our government. And my Bible says there's no end to the increase of his government upon this earth, upon Fruta, upon Grand Junction, upon the state of Colorado. I don't care who's a homosexual or not. I don't really care about whatever lifestyle they have. I care about the fact that the authority that put them in office is being crushed. And that authority is coming down because we don't wrestle with our governor. We wrestle with every realm of darkness, every realm that is in a high place. We have the authority to bring it down. If you understand the Word of God, because the Word of God is an if-then. If you do this, then every power, every miracle, every blessing in the book is going to be thrown at you. And that's okay. Amen. So, we have a mindset. You were born with a mindset. I talked the other day and said that we all have a Catholic mindset. It's sort of in our subconscious, because every protesting religion called Protestants were based upon the Catholic general doctrine. And so if our new doctrine didn't have a change, we accepted the old doctrine. And so there's so many things in the teaching that we've just inherited. And Jeremiah says, don't you know you've inherited lies? Our forefathers, Sabbath happened so long ago. The change in the world about Constantine, the Roman Empire, changed in the Sabbath so that he could worship his son God on Sunday. And he made all Muslims, all Jews, and all Messianics change to worship to Sunday. And we didn't, as a pastor, I never tested that. Anything evil we tested, but the Bible says, test all things. And when I finally began to test my doctrine, my faith, I began to really go, oh my God. And most of the things that I tested were an oh my God moment. And oh my God, God is trying to mature the bride. And the bride is going to go from a mental concept, mental ascent, thank you, to a real spiritual concept called kingdom mindset. And the kingdom mindset is what we're called to have. We're called to make our decisions based upon the king's mindset. And remember the old saying back in 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, I don't know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus wouldn't do much, but Yeshua would do anything. And now it's WWYD. So what would Yeshua do? What would he do? Because he had a mindset that wasn't of the flesh. He had a mindset that we need to emulate and we need to have in our lives. So how many got saved? Now, this is a serious question. I expect you to raise your hand. If you do not raise your hand, I will stop and have an altar call right now. So how many here got saved? How many here are saved? Who didn't raise your hand? Raise your hand, quick. Okay. All right, well, we can go on. So when you got saved, do you know you were unclean, you were pagan, you were dirty, you were sinful, and God changed your status? You went from unclean to clean. And the Old Testament's all about the realms of unclean, the realms of darkness. And you just now stepped out of darkness into light. So your status was changed. When you got mikvahed or you got baptized, your status changed again. And what God is doing right now is he's changing our thinking so that our status changes. So instead of walking in the flesh, we're walking more in the spirit. Has anybody experienced that you're walking more in the spirit nowadays? Okay, of the three that said yes, there was one way back there. Okay. Anyway, and I think it went over here, so we had four. But what God is saying right now is it's time. And the reality is, it's past time. And when we realize that God is going to raise up an army, and the fact is, it's going to be an army whether we're there or not. You know, I love that song, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar! That's the way I feel. And the other song is, matter of fact, it had Spanish in it, and of course, Hector wasn't here for the Spanish. So anyway, you have to stay late so we can play that song again. So anyway, this status change is what God is doing right now. It was in the last 2 weeks I had a dream, and the Bible says in the last days that old men will dream dreams. And somebody here, anyway, I thought I was really old. Anyway, I had a dream. And it was a bunch of people that were going towards a government building. I don't know what it was. It didn't look like the White House. It looked like something else. But I was with that group. And we looked behind us, and there were lions that were coming along and roaring and pawing people, and they're slapping their faces, and they die right there on the spot. And they came running at us, and this one lion came up to me, and I petted his mane and kept walking. And I asked God, "What is this?" And he said, "This is the Lion of Judah, who knows who the bride is, because the bride has a mark." And I'm telling you right now, we need to thank God for that mark. We need to thank God that the spiritual realms, which we live in the physical, but we also have a spiritual realm. And the spiritual realm, they see the mark of God. And the mark of God trumps any mark of the beast, any mark of Satan, any mark of darkness that's out there, because our mark is of God. When God looked for the mark, when he went through Egypt and he looked for his blood, he looked for his mark. He wasn't looking for those that don't have a mark. He was looking for God's mark. And God's mark right now hasn't changed. And God is looking for his mark as he goes through the land roaring like a lion. So say this, say, repeat with me. I want my status to change. Okay, there were three people that didn't say that. There's one in the front row. Okay, praise God. Let's move on. I'm not allowed to pick on people. I've been told that so often, but I do it anyway. It starts with the status change. Salvation, baptism, mikvah, deliverance, repentance, forgiveness, confession. All of those cause your status to change. There are two types of mindsets. I don't care how many you think there are. There's only two. Just like there's holy and everything else. The Bible says holy and common. Well, we were born common. You get out of bed, you brush your teeth. These are all things that are common. So they're not sinful. But then we do things that are common because they're not holy. And we've been called to be holy. So whenever you can, you are to be kadosh. Because when I say holy, we don't really know what that means. You know, I think it means being good or something, but the word holy means kadosh, and kadosh means you are set apart. You are different. You've got the mark of God, and God has set you apart for what purpose? Do you know you're set apart for his purpose? You have a purpose. You have a goal in life. As Pastor Tim taught this morning, we all have a purpose. And the old purpose is no longer there. Your father's church is now put under, because the old purpose was to get saved, give glory, don't drink and don't smoke, go to church, be good, and make sure you tithe. And that was the old glory to God. But God is raising up a people now that are not following the rules, they're following the Spirit. I don't mean to be offensive, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody. I've mentioned many times, I don't keep Sabbath because I've read it, and God says honor it, and God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I tested it because I was a pastor. I had a card that says I'm ordained, and at the bottom of the card it says you know everything. Right, Mark? And God began to move on my heart, and I tested Sabbath. I tested it, and God began to write it on my heart and my mind, because he said there's a new covenant in which those that have a heart for God are going to come into the new covenant, and I will write these things on your heart and on your mind. What things? And in Hebrews, which is their side of the Bible, it says he will write the Torah on your heart and mind. Oh my gosh, I don't want the Torah on my heart. Too late. And so as it gets on your heart, you begin to have a hunger for God's word, and God's word is alive. And so when we understand the mindset, there's a righteous mindset and everything else, holy and common, as a priest is supposed to learn in Ezekiel 44. Our priests in the last days are going to teach holy from common. They're going to teach God's anointing. They're going to have a spirit of God that's teaching clean from unclean. When we read that with our mindset that's mental, we go, well, that means kosher. No, it doesn't. Clean from unclean is everything that we touch that's not holy is possibly unclean. What we watch, what we consume, not only physically, but in our mindset. And we've got to be very, very, in these last days, we have to be so diligent in keeping ourselves kadosh. So anyway, we often live our life as our own desire. Like for instance, years ago, I started several businesses. I started probably a dozen businesses over my life. And my prayer was, oh, Father God, I'm going to start this business. Please anoint me. Please bless this business. Now I'm beginning to learn that that was my desire. And thank God I was blessed. But now I realize that I want to start a business when God puts it on my heart, when it's His desire, when it's His word in my heart, not my word begging Him to bless me. And so Mark 7, 21 and 22 are far from within, out of the heart of man proceeds. You see, we have our own heart, our own goals, but out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, immorality, thefts, murders, adultery, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, just to go on and on and on, because this is what's in our heart. Our hearts are wicked. I think the Proverbs says our hearts are the wicked most things in the world. And right there, Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. In Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked and the unrighteous pours out evil things. Our hearts are very, very difficult to manage. But you know, in the beginning, God says, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul. Love me with all your heart. We think the Torah is so legalistic, but guess where he said that? Back in the Torah. So there's a literal application of these rules and regulations, which are God's teaching and instruction, but then there's a spiritual. And we need to walk in both physical and spiritual, because we need to walk in spirit and truth. And only one place in the Bible does it say the Torah is truth, in Psalms 119, 142. And if the Torah is truth, then I need the truth. But I need to walk in the spirit, because I need to walk in the realms of maturity. And walking in the spirit by itself is going to bring realms of wickedness, selfishness. But walking in just the Torah is going to bring condemnation. And like in this walk, it's sad because we keep Saturday. And I found myself over the last 20 years trying not to be rude, but I've been around a lot of pastors, and I had this one Assembly of God friend, and he said, if God wants me to keep the Sabbath, he'll put it on my heart just like he did yours. And I say, well, you know why I keep Sabbath? It's because Jesus did. He didn't go to church on Sunday. Well, you know, I condemn so many guys, and that arrogance and that pride caused a lot of problems. But I told him that God didn't write this on my heart. I tested it, and then he wrote it on my heart. And the difference between me and you is you believe you don't have to test it. And that arrogance that was conveyed, after he hung up on me, he called me a few weeks later and said, guess who's the Sabbath keeper? And I go, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. You actually heard from God? We were friends. Well, I was. But anyway, he said, I honor the Sabbath now. I said, I still have a church on Sunday, but guess what I do Friday night at sundown? Me and my wife, we honor God, we praise God, we thank Him for this day, and we do no work on Sabbath. And one of the things that he realizes is when we have a Sunday Sabbath, and this was for him. I'm not trying to insult anybody. I told him, I said, what I keep Sabbath from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. And I said, when I was a Christian, I kept Sabbath from 10:30 Sunday school to 12:01 on Sunday. And at 12:02, we were at the Charger game. I'm from San Diego. Didn't have a choice. Anyway, so what God is doing right now is he's pouring out his Spirit so that we know that we're going to walk in God's anointing. Somebody say, praise God. Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but change your mindset. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of the way we think, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Do you realize he's saying we can tell what the will of God is? What's God going to do? What's the will of God? I don't know. Why don't you be transformed and find out? So you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Praise God. Praise God. What God is doing right now is changing our minds. This is a message that's going around the world right now. It's not just here. And so the kingdom mindset has a thinking status change. Our thinking has to change. Philippians 4, and finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report or repute, if there is any excellence, if there is any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, think upon these things, dwell upon these things, put our mindset on these holy things. But instead, we put our mindset on the obvious. And as long as we're obvious, we're not praying for faith in what we can see. We are walking in faith in what we can't see. We're walking in faith in what we can see. So we pray for the obvious. And the obvious is, you know, I did this illustration in the Bible study Tuesday. Hey, how you doing, Hector? Hey, man, you missed a spot on your bald head when you shaved. You know, hey, man, how come you look so ugly? You know, I mean, we look at the obvious. And I'm just, it didn't come out right. But what I'm getting at is we wait till Hector leaves, and then we badmouth him. Then we talk about him because we are masters of the obvious. And we're not masters of what we can't see. Because what I can't see is the fact that this man is a man after God's heart. This man is hungry. This man looks at me and starts crying because I know he loves God. And the more our status changes, the more we have a mindset of God, the more we're so tender-hearted, we're so hungry to see God's glory and riches. And I want us all to be so hungry for God that we cannot look at each other without just wanting to hug and cry over each other. Praise God. So whatever is right, whatever is awesome, whatever is of God, thank God. When Jesus said, you'll never see me until you say Baruch Abba Hashem Adonai, we need to start seeing Messiah in each other. Right, Hector? And so I see Messiah in Hector. I don't see all the negative things that I was teasing him about. Because when we see Messiah in each other, then Messiah said, and then you will see me. And we need to see more of Messiah in each other, praise God. And Romans 8:6, for the mind of the flesh is not very good, and the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, praise God. So death is not something we should look for. Do you know God said, I'm a God of the living? So how come there's so many dead of Christ in the church? When you understand lukewarm, when you understand asleep, it's all the same concept of death. And when Christ said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, I believe that's the church. I'm not looking for graves to open up. I'm looking for churches to get on fire. And right now our churches are not on fire because our men of God are called pastors, are not teaching the word of God. They're teaching how to tell good stories and how to be cool. And the biggest churches are the best because they really teach how to be, you know, how to entertain. I know this one guy's got 3 services before noon. It's like, what are you doing? He says, well, we're getting them in, getting them out. And I said, why? get them in and keep them in. And don't let them go home. Yeah. Philippians 2:5, have this mindset, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also. Have the mindset, the attitude that Christ said. Also in Messiah Yeshua, have his mindset, praise God. In Proverbs 14:15, the naive believe everything, but the sensible man has discernment and considers his steps. Praise God. Somebody say, somebody get excited. You know, it's late at night and you're full of dead chicken. Not me. So, all the kings and kingdoms of this earth will have their moment in history and fade away. Their flesh thinking is just a moment in time. The kingdoms of this world are shakable and eventually fall. What can be shaken is and will be shaken. What cannot be shaken will be of God. And we need to see. Read that last word out loud. Okay, good idea. The kingdom of this world are shakable and will fall. Amen. Praise God. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 2:6 about the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Can you think through history and think of any great rulers that didn't last? I can think of one called Jesus Christ who did last. Amen. And his kingdom is still there. He's still the king. He's still the ruler. He's still God's anointed. He is our heart. The Bible commentator Moffat refers to them as the dethroned powers who rule this world. The dethroned. They're already dethroned. You know, our president is already gone. He's already dethroned. And we're going to see another bad president unless the church starts to get on fire and becomes transformed. We need more than a remnant to believe in God's anointing. We need somebody that believes in Hebrews 11:1. I believe in faith in what I can't see. And what I can't see is God's anointed, and I see the bride on fire. I see people in the street beginning to lay hands on people. I see what God is pouring out right now because God has got a kingdom of people that are on fire. I'm sorry. That deserved a better amen than that. Okay, this side wins, and you guys are in trouble. So, Rob, you should be going crazy by now. So, Michelle's over there going, yeah, yeah. Anyway, praise God. Secular powers are still ruling, but in reality, they are dethroned. Praise God. Dethroned in the sense that the sentence of doom has already been passed on them. Praise God. Praise God. The sentence of doom is from the judge in the courthouse where the government of God is increasing and Satan is on his high horse because he's in that throne room and he's our accuser. He's our accuser. That means he's accusing you day and night. He's accusing you of what? You don't sin. You guys are good people. He's accusing us, God's people, of not being on fire, of not being mature. We need to realize that God's anointed are now beginning to be mature. And when the accuser brings your name up before the Holy Spirit says, be gone. He's on fire for God. Praise God. And when we stand before God, if he sees you, you're in trouble. He better see the blood of the Lamb. He better see Jesus all over you because you've been so transformed. They do not acknowledge God's kingdom, and so they will suddenly collapse or are in a process of silent decay. There's a guy that ruled Europe, and he knew his manifesto was going to be used for 1,000 years. Communism around the world has grown and taken over many countries, but yet it's on the decline. In most countries, it's been defeated. Saddam Hussein ruled with an iron fist. Is he still there? In recent times, Hitler believed his evil empire would reign for 1,000 years. The followers of communism have seen the regime implode and self-destruct in most parts of the world. And Saddam Hussein's tyrannical rule is long gone. You know why? In Syria right now, there is a revival going on. And there are reports that it's the fastest growing church in the world. And yet they're being oppressed by leadership. But they're growing in leaps and bounds. Mostly women, and we won't get into that. But the fact is, there are so many prayers going against these regimes, going against authority, going against our government who believes in abortion after birth, going against our people that says that the government will give us our rights. The government will give us our ability to be alive. And as a matter of fact, we want you to depend on the government. If you're working, quit, and now get on the rules. Because the government wants to control America. And one of the biggest problems is there are people like you who are weird and say, I want God to control my life. And the government says, no way, we are your God. And yet we haven't woken up. And that's our job. I believe every one of you, your job is to wake up the church. That's why we teach, and Pastor Wendy teaches, that we are the bridge. And I believe there is a church that needs to know that we are in a warfare. Do you realize when George Barna says that 98% of all children, and he said this 20 years ago, of all children in the church from the age of 17 to 22 leave the church, and most of them do not come back. So why? It's because we're in a war, and we haven't shown up, and we haven't realized that the warfare is for my generations. My prayer is not for my grandchildren. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Because God told me not to be a beggar. My prayer is for what I can't see, and I thank God for what's happening in my kids, my grandkids. I thank God for what I can't see, because I believe there's still going to be evangelists and pastors and anointed. This is my son right here, and my son has taken over my business. Yes, Pastor Wendy. Because as a good Jew, you raise your child, your son, to take over your business. Well, you must be my son because you've taken over my business. Anyway, my point is there is only one thing that outlives all of these rulers. Yeshua HaMashiach the King. Somebody say, wow, glory to God, because we need to thank God for every little thing. We need to praise God. God inhabits the praises of his people. You guys should be praising God all the time. You should walk in here and the songs are on the wall and go, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. In the presence of angels, praise God. Do you know that there is a cloud of witnesses right now around us? And who are these people? Are they people? We don't know. Are they angels? We don't know. But we do know they are realms of spirits that are around us. And what are they doing around us? Pastor Tim preached this morning that we need to speak to the angels around us. We need to command them, tell them, and allow them to work their authority. I was telling Pastor Tim about a story when I was a pastor in over there somewhere. And there was a guy who was a really good friend of mine. He was a Vato. I'm from California, and all my friends were Vatos. And now I find out when I go to Mexico, you don't call a Mexican a Vato, because it goes, you're calling me a hoodlum, a bad guy. So, but anyway, this was a good friend of mine. He was a Vato, but he beat his wife. And so his wife came over to our house, and we had her in the kitchen or living room, and he shows up. And he's belligerent, he's drunk, he's mad, or he's stoned. I don't know what he was. But he was upset, and he demanded that we give up his wife. And I said, come back tomorrow. And he got really upset, and was wanting to kill me or beat me. And he actually said, I'm going to kill you. So I, you know, he's about 6 foot two, 320 pounds, and I'm 5 foot midget. And so I grab his arm, and he goes, don't grab my arm. And I grab his arm, and he said, nobody touches me. And well, I touched him. And I'm pulling him out to his car. And he's drunk. He shouldn't have driven home. But I take him to his Bronco. And well, the whole time I've got his left arm and I'm pulling him, he's got his right arm and he's going like this. And I'm going, what's wrong with you? You sort of retarded or what? And that's not PC, so take that off the tape. So I'm not very PC, even though my name is PC. I'm sorry, but anyway, what's wrong with you? You're having spasms. That's a better word. And he wouldn't tell me. And anyway, I got him to his car, and I got his buttocks up in the seat, and I said, go home. Come back tomorrow when you're sober. Anyway, he drove off. The next day, he came back, and he says, I want you to know. Anyway, he began to weep on my shoulder. And it's a miracle. When a big guy has to bend way over to cry on my shoulder. So he's snotting up my shoulder, and he says, nobody touches me, but God said it was okay for you to drag me out to my car. And I knew that when you did that, I knew you're anointed. And then I said, what was your arm doing? He said, I carry a knife. And he said, every time I went down to get my knife to stab you, because I told you I'd kill you, that there was an angel or something that slapped my hand. And I go back, and I never even touched my knife. I go back, and it slapped my hand. And God began to say, you are mine. You are mine. And I am his. So it's not just stuff in me. It's the fact that we need to be so transformed, because there is no end to the increase of God's anointing upon the bride. There's no end to the increase of God's right rulings. There's no end to his increase of the word of God, the teaching and instruction of God, because right now we walk in independence, because by golly, I'm an American, but God is doing it, bringing submission to the hearts of those that are going to follow God. Okay. Do you know that I'm up here and I'm sharing things from my heart, and I hear, oh, amen, praise God, hallelujah. If I was out there and there was a radical sharp preacher preaching, I would be standing up going, yeah, wow, praise God, hallelujah. But since you guys are white Americans and a couple of you have tans, but the fact is, sorry. Yeah, you got a real good tan, so... But the fact is, we need to see people excited. Is there anybody passionate for God? Yeah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Thy government come to earth as it already is in the heavens. Our Father, who art in heaven, Barukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. I pray for the kingdom of God to be on this earth as it is in the heaven. What it's saying is, when we realize the government of God is the kingdom of God, and it's going to come to earth because it already is on this earth, and God's anointed know about the government room of God. When we realize that his government is coming, and his government is coming to this earth, his government is coming to our presidency, our mayors, and then you have the audacity to have your mayor, I mean, your governor on the wall. The governor. So what are you trying to say? There's something wrong with our governor? and yeah, you were really. Anyway, I wanted to say, he's mentioning all these names of people in high places, and I want to say, this is a holy place. Stop defiling this sanctuary. So anyway, so we don't use names. Okay, here's one of our misunderstandings. All too often, we begin the reading of this passage with verse 19, which is, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And because of that, we have now started in all major religions, we started missionaries. Okay? But if we do so, we miss the reason for our going when he says, therefore go, and the means by which we go. And let me just share with you. Get out of the flesh mindset, get out of the house and go. Go. Look at somebody and says, go. When you back up to verse 18 to capture the context and the reason for our go, because every one of us should realize that you've been called to go. So we have a go. Matthew, starting in verse 18, 28, 18. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority. You mean some authority. Change that to power. All power. All power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, taught ones, of all nations. Of all nations. Well, gee, I'm going to Bible college, and where are you going? I'm going to Africa. Where are you going? I'm going to India. Where are you going? I'm going to America. Because God put me in Fruita, and this is where I've been told by a friend of mine, a rabbi, that said, you know, with that kind of passion, you need to be in a big city. And I go, you're right. But the fact is, God put me in this little place called Fruita. And we used to drive, we used to live in Lake City, and we'd go back and forth to California to see parents and stuff. And my daughters, Wendy and Andre and Yvette sometimes, we'd pass on Highway 70, we'd pass this town called Fruita. And they go, what a weird name, what is it? And I said, that's where all the retired people from California go that are fruitcakes. You gotta be careful of your words, because that prophecy, which I didn't know was, is now where this fruitcake lives. I'm trying real hard to learn to love fruitcake, but I hate it. So anyway, that's why they call it full awful. But what God was really touching my heart over this is, we think that we are American Christians and we're going to change the world, so therefore go to all nations. But you know what? Go where God sends you. I don't believe most are missionaries. I was a missionary in the Marshall Islands, well, I was in Bible college. As a matter of fact, I preached my first sermon in Majuro and went diving in the atoll there, and I had a great time. But I realized the other missionaries that were on different islands were not really very spiritual. And God began to show me that I want people to go to these places that are called by me, not because this organization said, well, we need a missionary here, we need one here, and you graduated from missionary school. God doesn't care if you graduated. God wants you to have a heart for God. God wants you to be so on fire. So when he says all authority has been given to him, and we later see that he gives us all authority, he gave it to Peter, he gave it to man, and we have all power, all authority, and we're supposed to make taught ones of all the nations, guess what? I believe God is going to use all of you to teach your family, which are called nations, your neighbors, which are called nations, and all the other goyim in your life, and their goyim until they're transformed. Amen. So praise God. A status change, again, is them in the name of the King, Avinu Malkeinu, and in the incarnate God, Yeshua, of the set apart Spirit. Oh, this is the rest of the verse. Baptizing them, changing their status, teaching all these nations in the name of God, Avinu Malkeinu, and of the incarnate God, Yeshua, and of the set apart Spirit, teaching them to shamar, which is from the root word shema, teaching them to guard all that I have commanded you, and see, I am with you always. Praise God, I'm with you always. When you walk in my spirit, when you go out and you teach nations, I am with you always. I'm with you always, even until the very end of your life of this age. And this age is his. His government is his. His anointing is his. His battle is won by him. I was sort of realizing that the battle belongs to the Lord. And I was asking God, I said, looking back at Moses, when they went to war, he said, yes. Well, Moses had to fight and win the battle. No. He said, I told Moses to go out there and hold the sword up. And these brickmakers didn't know how to fight, so they just held the sword. And I made Guy jump on this. And the biggest problem that Moses' warriors had was shaking the body off because another guy's coming with a big club. And then I get that sword back and he jumps on it. Well, how about Jericho? The battle was mine. They show up, hey, man, and it's the second generation. They've been to war. They know it. They show up, and they got their swords and their shields, and man, we're going to wipe out this Jericho. We're here from God, from Yahweh, the king of all the universe, and we're going to wipe these guys out. And Joshua says, leave your sword at home. Oh, we're just going to club this with our shields? No, leave your shield. Oh, I got my dagger, hand of hand. And Joshua says, leave your dagger. He says, Joshua, all I got is my shofar. Am I going to club to death of my shofar? And he says, just march and shut up. As Tick found out the other night, she kept saying, shut up. And finally, I want to say, be still and know I'm the Lord. So Joshua's saying, be still and just march. And they march. And at the end of the march, they yelled, they shouted, they blew the shofar, they screamed, and the walls came down. And guess what? God said to Joshua, the victory belongs to me, not your warriors. Praise God. And it hasn't changed. Our authority right now is praising God because the victory belongs to him. The victory and the increase of his government is going to be brought into fruition. That's a fruit word. Brought into completeness by the authority and the power of the people that are transformed and have changed their thinking. Amen. I'm with you till the end. Praise God. And so what is kingdom thinking? Kingdom thinking is having the mind of Messiah. The mind of Messiah is a mind that is willing to do the will of God. He didn't strive for vainglory, but was meek and lowly. He was compassionate and understanding. Can God say all of that about you? Don't answer. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Who has known the mind of Yahweh? Who shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. His mind was to please God. And I believe that you are becoming more and more with that desire to please God. Praise God. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, a mindset is a fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines or decides in advance a person's response to and interpretations of each situation. Do you realize what that says? Is that we're supposed to have a mindset that says no matter what, when we're tested, when offense comes your way, when people call you weird names and we get upset, you've already made up your mind that you're not going to take the bait. And if you're not going to take the bait, you're going to praise God. Amen. Praise God in all things. Praise God in all things. Begin to praise him for what God's doing in your mind because you're not of the flesh. You're of the Spirit of God. Somebody say, that's me. Praise God. A kingdom mindset or a kingdom thinking is a fixed mental attitude or disposition ruled by God. An attitude ruled by God. Governed by his perspectives, his will, his purpose, his plans, and his desire that predetermines or decides in advance a person's response to and interpretations of a situation. Kingdom thinking is having a submissive mind. Understand that submission is not slavery, but a free will of the one to bring us into compliance with their will with those over them in order to accomplish that which needs to be accomplished. Yeah. There were 601,000 at Jericho, and there was one Joshua. But there were leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of 50, leaders of 10, and most of all, there were leaders of one. And if we're not leaders of one, we will not submit to 10. And guess what? Every man submitted. Joshua told 1,000, the 1,000 told the hundreds, and the hundreds told the 50, and they began to tell each area of 50, this is what we're going to do. And guess what? They knew there was a goal, and there was a purpose. And my purpose in that purpose is to be submissive to their purpose. I have no idea why I can't take my sword, because I've now been in battles. I want to whack off some Jericho heads. But God says to Joshua, and Joshua said to the leaders, leave your sword at home. I have no idea why. And you know what? There wasn't one that said, hey, we're not doing that. We're going to keep our swords. When they come out to fight us, we're going to be prepared. If we don't have a sword, we'll die. Does this sound like an American? Yes. Sound like the body of Christ? Yes. Because we don't buy what the leader says. We want to do it our way, because we need to learn to submit to God. Anyway, praise God. Yeshua was God in the flesh, for the Bible says in John 1 and 2 and verse 14, In the beginning, Bereshith, which we're going to start our Bible study next Tuesday and Thursday at 6:30 at Kathy's house. In the beginning, Bereshith was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, the glory that was full of grace and truth. Praise God. Praise God. Anyway, I'm running over, so I'm going to read fast. Mindset, a Hebrew mindset versus a Hellenistic mindset. And the Old Testament puts it right on the line. For I shall bend the bow of Yehuda, and I shall fill the bowl with my lost sheep of Israel, Ephraim. And I shall stir up your sons, O Zion, against the mindset of the Hellenistic concept, which is in our America, which is in our church. We're not going to war against Greece. This is called the Hellenistic mindset. And I shall make you like the sword of the mighty man. This is God saying, there's a mindset and there's a mindset. Which one do you choose? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anyway, my right leg is dead. So, could somebody pray for the dead in Christ? When Yeshua came into the world, He disrobed Himself of His glory and came into the likeness of man, the flesh, to suffer and be tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. Yes. I'm not sure how I can sit in that. He wasn't self-centered or stubborn, but submissive to the will of God. Praise God. I don't know what's back there. This is called faith. I have no idea. I'm going to sit my buttocks down.
It's called a trust exercise.
I call it faith. So, anyway. Oh, praise God. My buttocks is down.
You're a little shorter, but it's good.
I'm a little shorter. That's all I need is to be shorter. Like a what? Oh. Amen. Sure. Who let this guy in? Yeah. Messiah understood that His purpose was to be slain from the foundation of the world. I love that. And He was obedient to God. He knew He was going to be sacrificed. Kingdom thinking is having a submissive mind that is an obedient mind. For obedience is better than what? Amen. Praise God. That was the test to see if you're still awake. An obedient or submissive mind says, Abba, whatever you ask of me, it shall be done. Faithful and true. This is when you change your status from a mental approach, a mental attitude, and you now are no, you're much beyond just reading the Bible and believing these words. You are now transforming it. When you test everything, you allow things to be put into your heart. And we need to realize that God said to love him with all your heart. Praise God. In the book of Deuteronomy is the only place you'll find this command. In chapter 10, verse 6, he says, you, my children, are to circumcise your heart. And then 20 chapters later, it's like God is saying, have you figured out you can't? So he says, if you love me, I will circumcise your heart. I will put your heart in the same place that my heart is. And when we have the heart of Messiah, we begin to see, when I'm in Israel, I always have this urge to witness the Jews, even though they don't want me to. And last time I was with this owner of the church company, I told him that Abraham and every prophet said, and the word of the Lord came to me. So I said, what's that? He goes, well, that's the Bible. I said, no. The word of the Lord doesn't come to people. You have to pick up the scroll and read it. So what is this word of the Lord? And he says, I don't know. I said, let me give you an idea that you'll have to pray about. The word of the Lord is the spirit of Messiah. I said, how do you think Isaiah wrote the chapters that you're not allowed to read, which prophesy about the Messiah, about his crucifixion, about this understanding that he is the chosen one of God, that he is now the authority of God? And how did you get that? How did Isaiah get that prophecy and that ability? It's because he understood the word of the Lord, understood the word of God, and he looked forward to the Messiah. I don't know Jesus Christ. I don't know Yeshua, but I look back to the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and that same spirit dwelt in Isaiah, the same spirit dwelt in Abraham, the same spirit dwelt in Ezekiel, the same spirit dwells in me. And he's there like, you're crazy. And I'm saying, this is something to pray about. And I know Pastor Tikva and Tim are going to Israel with the same guy, and they're going to share the spirit of Messiah. And he's going to slowly start opening his eyes. And I believe that when the Bible says that in the last days, the revival of Judah is going to be so strong that they're going to begin to see, but it's not going to happen until the Goyim, until the nations, until the fullness of the Goyim come into play. And you know what God has shown me what the fullness is? This message. When the body of Christ matures, when they stop praying for the obvious and they begin to pray for the faith in what they can't see, when they begin to have authority, when they begin to come together as Baptists and Lutheran and Methodists and even Messianics, and they say in the name and the power of the authority that God gave Peter, the same authority God gave us, and when two or three are gathered together, they're in the very midst, which is a Hebrew concept of he is now living in us, and if we're there in his name, which means we have his authority of his name because we're his ambassadors, and now he says, whatever you pray in my name shall be given to you, praise God, and we're going to see the dead in Christ rise. We're going to see nations change. We're going to see nations that right now have a warfare attitude towards Israel. We're going to see them wanting to come up and celebrate Sukkot. Because the prophecies of God are still being revealed, praise God. And it's because there are people in this audience who are praying for those prophecies by praying for what they can't see. And they know that what I can't see is proof. It is the evidence. So when I go to court, the accuser says, where's your proof? And I go, my proof is right here. You can't see it, but God can, and my proof is evidence of the authority of God that's been given to me. So Holy Spirit, do your job, and we have the right. Anyway, Holy Spirit, do your job. His job is to say, accuser, be gone. An obedient or submissive mind says, oh, whatever you ask, it shall be done. Faithful and true, I'll do what you ask what you want me to do till the end of my, till my end is done. Why am I going to do that? Because Abba, I'm yours and I want to please you. I want to please you. When I look at the Bible and I say, well, I don't want to do that. So, and I stand before God and he says, how come you don't want to please me? And that brings my heart to weeping. Because right now, there are very few people in the body of Christ that say, I don't care what the Bible says. I want to please God. I want to please God. When God put it on Karen's heart and then mine, the women always get it first. That's the reason I've been married 50 years is because, anyway, when God told us to get rid of that, stop eating pork. Pork is unclean. And we said, no way. We're from California. All we eat is fish tacos and carnitas. And we had to decide, do we throw away the whole freezer or do we give it to our neighbor? And we gave it to our neighbor. So I think we did. Anyway, but the fact is, that was our heart. God said it, and I want to please God. So praise God. Let's learn. I want you to learn this whole thing. I remember, I think it was Tim, or maybe Tickfell last night, one of these pastors mentioned 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Well, actually 3 and 4. But it was the first verse that I asked Pastor Wendy and Andrea to memorize. And they were still young kids. And it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. As a matter of fact, the warfare that we have is greater by God. But anyway, verse 5 says, we are to take every captive and make every captive obedient, every thought obedient to the will of Christ. And I believe our thinking patterns need to be obedient to God. If your thinking is obedient to God, God's authority is in you. Even you, Jim, back there. You got a smile. There you go. Thanks. Okay. Jim is my buddy on Tuesday mornings, and he has given me the right to pick on him. Right, Jim? Okay, I'll pick on you later. Anyway, but here's another one I want you to memorize. I'll write this down if you're taking notes. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Memorize that. And then this is Philippians 3, 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And we all want that. Praise God. Hallelujah. But do you want this? That I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering. No, I don't want that one. Well, if you don't want that one, you won't want this servant. That I may know him being made conformable. I'm being made conformable unto his death. And that's a song when I went to Bible college. I went to an independent where I was ordained, and we weren't allowed to sing Christian songs. We had to sing biblical songs. So somebody taught us this song, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him, that I may know him, my Lord. I still pray that. Anyway, praise God, we're done. This is his mindset. And I want all of us to walk out of here asking God to help change your mindset. Help change your mindset of gee, I've got to do this on Saturday. And gee, Saturday is God's day. God said it. Because God said, I will meet with my people on Shabbat. So I expect him to be here. I expect people to come in and say, praise God. Oh, I feel God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Because God's promises are true. So this is his mindset. And I pray that all of you now walk in his mindset. And so, Father God, would you stand and grab somebody's hand. And I don't care if you know him or not. Grab their hand and ask God to, I ask God to dwell through you. And so the Spirit of God goes through everybody because I believe in the laying on of hands. I believe the authority of God is going to now move across this body. And I pray, Father God, that every one of us here that are holding hands, every one of us here have a hunger for God's righteousness, a hunger to mature, a hunger for the mindset of each of us to be so transformed that in a twinkling of an eye, in one area of your life, you're just like God. And tomorrow, another area of your life will be transformed and be just like God. Because we're on a walk, and this walk is saying, from a babe to a child, from a child to a youth, from a youth to a senior, from a senior to the old guy on the video that's got the white beard. Not for you women, but anyway. This is God's call upon the church, and I believe what you are going to be his teachers. You're going to bear witness to him, to every person across the land that you come in contact with. Because Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Praise God. And that ends of the earth happened to be in Grand Junction, in Fruta, and Midland, Texas, and in Tampa Bay, and all this area. Where you live is the ends of the earth, and you're called to be his witness. Somebody say amen, glory to hallelujah. And let's give God some praise. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. You know, we can use our hands, we can wave our hands, but the bottom line is God says, the word is very near you. Look at somebody and say, the word is very near you. You don't need to send somebody off to heaven to get it. You don't need to send somebody across the sea to get it. You need to realize the word is very near you. It's in your mouth. Say, oh my God, it's in my mouth. And now he says, speak it, obey it, use it, prophesy, exactly. And that's what the witnesses to the ends of the earth are God's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and witnesses. Amen. Teachers. So I guess we're done. There's some leftover chicken, but the leftover pie is mine. And so, anyway, tell somebody God loves them.